Mr. McQuaid.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Counsel. Your Honors, Mr. Wilborn is contending and arguing that the cocaine base that he transacted in this case was not in the form of crack cocaine. What he does concede in this case is there is crack cocaine, and that is displayed in Exhibit 17, which from the evidence is 0.56 grams of what is clear was a hard, dry, white chip substance, which had a purity of approximately 74%. Mr. Wilborn's argument is that that particular drug in this particular case is clearly what Congress had in mind when it separated crack cocaine from the other cocaine base and decided to punish it more severely.
You know, you didn't respond to the government's claim that the original preserved samples did in fact resemble crack. They were white or off-white rock-like substances. They didn't look like wet sand or cookie dough until the chemist ground them up for testing. So how will you respond to that claim?
Your Honor, I think at the hearing, the contest was that those particular items, and I agree with Your Honor, but Judge Kennelly found that there was a preservation of what the government says was how the product was delivered to the chemist. And I believe at the time of the hearing, it was we contested the color, that it was not off-white is subject, but it was brown. I believe that, furthermore, that nobody in this case ever put their fingers or hands on the items, especially including those items that were specifically preserved, to find out what happened when they were subjected to touch. The forensic chemist, Ms. Laux, indicated she never physically handled the exhibits.
What difference does all of that make? He's on tape saying it's crack cocaine, and
yes,
on each of these transactions, and he submitted a written confession to the agents saying it's crack cocaine. So why isn't that enough?
Well, I believe what happened is that Congress has never given us a specific scientific definition of crack, so what the courts have carved out are these factors to look at, multiple factors, and based on all of the evidence, the trier of fact, or in this case the trial judge, has to determine, based on the evidence, under the factors that are carved out by Your Honors, does it, by preponderance of the evidence, is it crack cocaine? And I believe that although obviously we concede some of the factors here are present, no doubt that he admitted that it was crack, he believed it was crack, I believe the evidence in the case was that he was not producing it himself, that he was a middleman in a transaction.
He said on tape that he cooked it up himself, at least on one occasion.
I think on one occasion he did say that, and I think ultimately we get the same, in my opinion, and the opinion that we portrayed to the trial court was this other form of cocaine base that is not crack, or certainly not crack the way Congress wanted to legislate against or to punish more excessively. So I think ultimately our argument is that although there was a preserved product, again, it's what happens when the product is handled by the chemist, when you take a look at the lab notes and you see the discrepancies between Exhibit 17 and what he wound up pleading guilty to, or the charged drug amounts, you see this a huge discrepancy in the makeup of it, the physical makeup of it. And the fact of the matter is when the drugs are processed and they're subject to grinding, that it comes out in this fashion. It's wet. It's mushy. I believe that the chemist testified at one point that when she observed the preserved cocaine, how it was transported from law enforcement to her, that it appeared as mashed potato-like, one of the exhibits, I believe the 69-gram exhibit, appeared to be in that fashion when she first looked at it, before grinding, before processing.
There was an explanation for that, that it wasn't hardened because it wasn't completely dried, right?
Yes, and I think...
So why wasn't the judge entitled to accept that explanation?
We're taking it further. We're taking it to say that there's two things that make up crack. One is the ingredients, and one is the processing. If it's not completely processed the right way, if there's a step missing, we don't get the product that Congress had in mind.
There wasn't any step missing.
Well, we don't know. But when you look at the discrepancy between this one exhibit and the exhibits that he wound up pleading guilty to, there's the difference. We're trying to carve out a difference between this definition that we have of crack cocaine that we've been dealing with for a long period of time. We are thinking a little bit creatively.
So do you, and you're doing it pro bono, and that's great, but tell me this. Do you, why is he saying it's crack?
Because I think that's what he thought it was. I think in essence, that's what he thought he was doing. And I can't stand up here just because I'm pro bono and try to – I'm not trying to feed the court a line here. I'm saying that there is
– Don't you then have a problem because we have said crack means stuff that's packaged and sold as crack.
I do.
Rather, we've said cocaine base means stuff that's packaged and sold as crack, and your client – packaged and sold this as crack.
Obviously, I have a problem here, and I had a problem downstairs with Judge Kennelly. But I'm putting forth this argument again to your honors, and that's what we were standing on, and we stood on it before, and we're asking you to second guess the trial court and stand on it again. So if there are no further questions, I appreciate the time. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Certainly, Mr. McQuaid. Mr. Langer.
May it please the Court, Ben Langer on behalf of the United States. This Court's prior decisions make clear that the question of whether cocaine base is crack cocaine is a factual determination. It has set forth several factors that we look at, including form and color, packaging, price, and the statements of the parties to the transaction. In this case, every single one of those factors supported the conclusion here the judge reached this was crack cocaine.
Other than waiting for the substance to fully dry, was there any further processing necessary before the substance that were recovered here could be used as crack? Was there, like for instance, would you have to do some more cooking?
No, there's nothing further. In fact, you don't even have to wait for it to dry to smoke it. One of the questions that was asked of the ATF agent is, can you smoke moist crack cocaine? And the answer was yes. So there's nothing further that you need to do. It's just that it hadn't quite dried to get to that same exact format that we typically see. So first of all, with respect to the form and color, the question, the evidence was clear that it was off-white, hard, and rock-like. The defendant correctly points out that it became soft and mushy when the DEA chemist processed it, but the judge correctly identified the appropriate time to analyze the form as being the time that it was sold.
I assume at some stage in the processing it became a gas.
Right,
that's how you put it through a gas chromatograph, but that wouldn't make it not crack.
Exactly. And then the process of analyzing it, grinding it up, doing other things to it, you're going to take it out of its rock-like and hard format. All of the other factors, the packaging and small plastic baggies, the pricing, which what the ATF agent testified was the same price as crack in that time and place, and the defendant's own statements, both at the time of the transaction and then in his confession, all those factors support the judge's conclusion here that this was crack cocaine. So if there are no further questions, the government asks that the court uphold the district court's decision below.
Mm-hmm.
Require nothing more from your side.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. McQuaid. We appreciate your willingness to take the appointment in this case, even though it's hard to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.